Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Start your morning off right with Nashville's dynamic duo, Robbie Stanley.
Just beautiful.
And Joe Rexroad.
Glad we get that started.
This is Robbie and Rexroad.
Yes! Another biscuit?
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Slingshot in game.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans, looking ahead to week one between the Titans and the Bears. Paul Kuharsky brought to you by Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa and Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. And we will have a $50 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card to give away this hour to the best question for Kuharsky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Send in your questions.
Is that a collective judgment?
A collective judgment of the best question.
So
we love to judge.
The nastiest question would be the way I would drift. I'm just I don't want to, you know, influence people, but I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Let's bring some snark.
Make sure you text that in. We will give it away on our text line.
Snark to Kaharsk.
615-737-1025. PK, obviously, there's a ton of hype with Caleb Williams heading into this. Gonna be a lot of eyeballs on this game. We were going through this yesterday, looking at the matchup. Interested to see the corners on the field together at the same time, which we've not seen to this point in a game setting with Awuzie and Snead and McCreary going up against that receiving core. If you're Denard Wilson coming into this game, you've got a rookie quarterback with a ton of ability, but very inexperienced, obviously. What is the best way, in your mind, for the Titans to attack Caleb Williams in this game?
I think you got to mix it up, right? Let him not settle into anything where he knows, oh, they're coming regularly or they're dropping into coverage regularly. Just don't let him get into any comfort level where he has any ability to predict what's about to happen. And I think the Titans feel like they have a good enough mix, particularly with perimeter players to do that. I don't know exactly what Chicago is going to do with nobody does, but with their receivers. DJ Moore's obviously their most dangerous guy, and I think we should expect that Legarius Sneed will follow him around. We've not seen a Titan cornerback follow around a number one receiver in forever. Samari Roll did it a little bit, but not very often. They've played left and right largely for their existence. When they haven't, it's been kind of a special occasion. It's not been.
And you think that will change this Sunday?
Thing. I mean, they pretty much said Legarius Sneed was here to erase the top guy on the other team. And so that's something to keep an eye on right out of the gate. But I think outside of that, I think the defense will be very unpredictable in terms of what it tries to do to confuse Caleb.
Joseph in Brentwood, what's the biggest question about this team on your mind that people aren't talking about? And if you say the punter battle Sunday, we're with you. Us and Wanstead.
Yeah, Dave Wanstead, big into the punter battle coming
huge
up.
Punter battle. Huge punter
battle.
Huge punter battle.
I don't think there's a question that isn't being talked about on this team. I mean, I think the depth on both lines is really bad. Now, the defensive line depth is a factor before injury. You need to be rolling guys there, and they don't have guys. So that's a problem. Offensive line depth's only a problem if you get hurt. And I'm more confident that Bill Callahan, because he's done it repeatedly, could have somebody that could come in over the course of a game and get you through a game. I don't know about starting several games. But defensive line, I mean, what do they have there after Colburn? I mean, it's a four-person defensive line, and you generally need five. So, you know,
Tavondre, right away, play the whole game, please.
Well,
I mean, right?
Like in all seriousness, though, like, how much are you going to play on Sunday? Like, they
Simmons
need him to play a lot.
Yeah, can't leave the field much. Coburn's going to spot him and, you know, need to play well. And they can't, I mean, you go into a game saying you don't want to get hurt, but who twists an ankle in a game?
Yep.
I mean, can't be a defensive line. You know, you don't want to go into a game saying, well, you know we might lose three guys over the course of a game for a series or two, but it can't be a defensive lineman.
Yeah, it's like the year they had the three edges every Sunday.
Yeah. With Brooks Reed and, out there at some point.
Including one of them. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. A lot of interesting questions for you on the text line.
Keep them rolling in here. On the text line.
People want prizes. People like prizes.
So I threw this question out earlier to Joe. Interested to get your thoughts on it. Calvin Ridley, career high of 1,374 yards in the season, set it, I believe, in 2020 with Atlanta. Last year, he was just over 1,000. I think 1,016, if memory serves me correctly, with Jacksonville. I threw out the number 1,195 because it's right in the middle of those two. Does he get over that? Is he under that? Where do you think Ridley ends up? Assuming that he's healthy and that he's available for 17 games, can he get to 1,200 yards or more for this team this year?
I'm such a bad predictor. I mean, I think it'd be disappointing in some way, shape, or form if he doesn't get there. You know, I was talking about this yesterday. Who are the stars on the Titans? Simmons is a star and Legarius Sneed is a star. Offensively, we feel so much better about this team, and we should. But can you name a star on the Titans offense? Hopkins, kind of.
It certainly has been.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, and I think for them to be what a lot of us imagine they can be, Calvin Ridley needs to be a star. But I don't think it's a guarantee that he will be. And I think, you know, this is one of those questions that hangs over them. And I think I expect him to have some really big games. He had really big games against the Titans last year. But it doesn't take much to get to 1,000 yards as a receiver in a 17-game season. And he was kind of praising himself is the wrong way to put it, but hanging a pelt on the wall when he got here saying, you know, I was over 1,000 yards last year coming off two seasons off as a big accomplishment. And I was thinking, well, with your skills and talent and what Jacksonville had, that should have been a given. And I think it should be a given here, you know, 1,100. So I would say over. If he's not over, something's gone wrong. Don't you think?
I think so. I had him over. When you break it down to get to 1,200, I think 1,250 was the number I put out there. So to get to 1,250, it's 73 yards a game. I mean, there will be games where he has more than that. There will probably be a few that he's got under. But when you're paying a guy $23 million with the skill set that he has, I mean, number one, I think you should target him a lot. And number two, 73 yards per game I think should be attainable for Calvin Ridley. And again, I'm assuming health in this, which you can never assume in the National Football League. But 17 games, I don't think 1,200 is too much to ask.
I'm assuming deep strikes where he's catching the ball downfield. I'm also assuming yak on stuff that he catches, you know, 8 or 12 yards and runs like we used to see A.J. Brown do. Not that he's A.J. Brown, but that he can take those crossers. A.J. Brown used to bully people on them. Calvin Ridley, I think, more so will run away from people on them.
But I do think that there's a feasible scenario where, because Hopkins and Levis have such a good thing, and Boyd's going to get the ball, the backs are involved. I think they're going to run the ball. I think they have to run the ball. We never even talk about the tight ends. I think some of those – maybe DMR is the breakout star. But in all seriousness, like, there's enough options where I think he could be under and it wouldn't necessarily be things going wrong other than
– things are spread out too much.
But also probably – I mean, look, they've been working on this chemistry and talking about it the whole time. There's probably going to be some games where, you know, Ridley has 3 for 23, right?
Yeah. But, like, talking about the chemistry, for them to even have a chance of making the playoffs, you don't have to connect on one every game, but the Levis to Ridley deep ball has to be a threat. Like, we can't get 7-8 games into the season – and they've connected 30-plus yards down the field one time. Like, it's they've got to get that part of it figured out. They've worked on it a ton, obviously. But in a game, you've got to find a way to break through in that area.
Yeah, I agree.
And you got to be able to push the ball down the field.
And I do think that that's where, with Burks, I do think that they're going to sneak him on there at times and take shots with him too. Think about the, you know, of course, last year when they did it in week two, we thought it was just the beginning of a huge season for Treylon Burks when he did that to the Chargers.
Well, we've talked about this with Levis. Like, I think Levis, the yards per attempt last year was a pretty massive number. There's obviously been an emphasis from Callahan and him to take what's there, for lack of a better term. Like, you know, you're never going broke taking a profit. That's kind of been the approach, which is great. You don't want that to swing too far the other way either, where you're just not taking shots down the field at all. I don't think it will, but you can't have that.
Here's an interesting thing to look at. He was with a new quarterback last year, right, with Trevor Lawrence. So how did early chemistry go with him? Well, out of the gate, they were big. He had 8 receptions on 11 targets in the first game for 101 yards and a touchdown. But then 2 for 8 for 32 in a loss to Kansas City. The first game was at Indianapolis. 3 of 7 for 40 in a loss to Houston. 2 for 2 against his old team, Atlanta, for 38. Then 7 for 8 in a win against Buffalo. There's some evidence there of it taking a while, you know, a big one, but then 3 games of you're not getting what you hope for from a big-time guy. Now, they had injury issues. I don't remember the timing of their injury issues. They asked too much of him, all of that. That's evidence there that, like, if those are his numbers through a month here, there's going to be panic.
No doubt. Sure. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with PK on the Titans Week 1 matchup against the Chicago Bears. And again, giving away a gift card later this hour to the best question for PK on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $50 gift card at stake. We'll have more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Looking ahead to the Titans and Bears coming up in Week 1. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program, as he is every Wednesday morning. I also have a question that you can submit on our text line if you want to win a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa $50 gift card. Best question will win the $50 gift card on the text line. Andrew texting in, PK, how do you get prepared to work with such intelligent Southern gentlemen daily, knowing you're at such a disadvantage with your slow and smaller northern brain? This is from Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Brian, how are you today? Oh, I'm well. Thanks for asking. How are your children? Oh, they're good. They're really enjoying getting set up. Two more questions, and we've got to go. I manage. Trust me.
Thank you.
I try to set a pace.
Thank you for including me, Andrew.
Was your bagel good gentleman this morning, Brian? How was breakfast? Was it tasty? Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. I really enjoyed my breakfast this morning. Okay, one more question. We got to get Coach out of here. He's got to practice with some pace today. Coach, what do you think of the Bears? Yeah, good football team. Really good. See you guys tomorrow.
Probably not.
You'll like this one better from Trey from Antioch. I believe you're the GOAT of Titans Media. So my question is, what do you believe makes you the GOAT of Titans Media?
Oh,
there you go.
That I don't care how Brian Callahan's day is going or what he had for breakfast or how his kids are doing. Those are all things, you know, I hope things are well for him, but I want to go to work.
Let's keep it media. Paul, what other sports reporter with your many years of being in the industry would you say just hits a nerve with you?
Wow.
You have to pick one.
A lot of different
questions. That's the hard part of this question.
I can't pick one.
Just pick one.
I can't pick one.
It's not Schefter. Just say Schefter.
Oh, you want to go national?
Well, I mean, whatever.
Anybody. Yeah.
He didn't necessarily confine it to anything.
Yeah, I mean, sure, Schefter.
Great.
It was Pelissero
at one point. Remember,
but then he got
Pelissero on the breakfast line. I thought you were making me pick amongst locals, which is hard to sift through.
And now him and Pelissero are boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're boys.
You made him a little bagel sandwich, and he was your friend again.
Yeah, Brian, nice. How's your breakfast, Tom?
Tom!
At least we're in a breakfast line. I mean, Tom, that's a time to talk about breakfast.
I'd really like for you to unblock me on Twitter so I don't have to log into another account and see your tweets. Thank you.
That was a painful time. That really slows things down, and again, I'm about pace.
Let me give you Bradford real quick. If you had a superpower,
what would
it be? Or if you had to get in the octagon with any president in history, who would it be?
The octagon.
Well, FDR. William Taft. FDR's an easy win.
So bad.
I mean, I want to win.
Superpower is being a terrible human.
Superpower is clearly, travel. Like, I just want to be able to pop anywhere I want.
Teleportation.
I want to go to Paris at any time.
That would be pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good as X-ray vision, but still pretty good.
Take people with me. I'm not a peeper like you.
You use it for a lot of purposes. Yeah, what are you talking
about? What's the first purpose you're using it for?
I mean, think about it.
To see underwear and beyond.
Why do you go to the absolute gutter? That's disgusting.
So go ahead. Give me your use for it.
What's the number one use for
you can read? I mean, think about all the things that you can read that you otherwise couldn't read. I mean, you would know the answers to everything.
What can't you read? What don't you have access to read?
I mean, I could read anybody's bank statement. You could be the ultimate mastermind criminal in the world. Come on.
Oh, so you're going to use it for crime?
Sure. If you use a superpower, you should absolutely be a super criminal. Obviously, that's the right way to do it.
Why would you be Lex Luthor instead of Superman if you're given a superpower? That's crazy.
Because we live in the real world, and that's it.
I mean, I will say the first question I thought about with teleportation was, I mean, you could teleport right into the vault of a bank, take a little, you know.
But the X-ray vision, you can count it.
Two criminals in here. This is shocking. Brian, I'm the guy who's using it for good.
Brian Summer says, I'd like to know Paul's proper press conference seating etiquette. Are you still crying about Teresa or something? Are you still whining about that?
This is funny that you're making it out like I'm whining. She was whining. I say sit where there's an open seat.
We stand with Teresa. I don't even know what happened. I stand with Teresa.
Seating.
Whatever.
Ridiculous. All right. Looking back ahead to
supposed to leave a seat open whether she's there or not. It's outrageous.
I stand with Teresa.
It's outrageous.
The honorary chair.
It's outrageous.
We brought up.
We'll put a doll in it.
We brought up the Caleb Williams part of this. What about Landry? So Landry, we know how important he is and has been to this team. He's fully healthy heading into the year. Got a career high of 12 sacks back in 2021. Looked like he started to come on at the end of last year. Do you think, number one, do you think he can surpass that number? And number two, is Harold Landry, in your mind, good enough heading into the season, regardless of what we get from Sweat and Simmons that we've talked so much about, with Key on the other side, is Harold Landry a good enough rusher, in your mind, to be the difference maker that they probably will need him to be getting after the quarterback this year?
I think Harold Landry is quite good. Mike Herndon, who writes at paulkowarski.com, is a big Harold Landry backer, and he swayed me some. But I also think that Harold Landry is a better extension of guys that the Titans have had. He's different body and all of that, but they've had a long line of guys like Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo, who get close and are influential but don't finish with the regularity that you'd like. Their hit rate, based on their proximity to the quarterback, doesn't seem high enough. And I feel that way about Landry, not to the degree that – I mean, Derek Morgan was that guy. Derek Morgan was frustrating in –
because Arakpo had a couple years where he got there enough.
Morgan's a great example of that.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've had several guys like that over their history. I think Landry is not mentioned enough as a very good pass rusher, and I think he's a very good pass rusher. But I think people can really stack up an edge to stop him because the other side is unthreatening. So he's probably going to face the most daunting blocking that he's ever seen. And I don't know how much you could dedicate to the interior that could have been his. So challenging season for him. And it was interesting what he said. You know, he was just shifting gears. He was the biggest Vrabel guy in that locker room after the season was over when we did not know Vrabel's fate. He basically said, Vrabel made me, you know, and I owe what I've become as a football player to Vrabel. And he kind of put a cap on a camp and a preseason of several guys saying, there's more freedom here and I feel more comfortable and this is a different deal and I really like the vibe. And he said that, you know, here now there's more room to kind of go your own direction to arrive at your place. And I thought that's a cherry on top of a theme that's gone on here with Brian Callahan. And here's a guy that only had one coach who said that coach made me, discovering over the course of a spring and a summer that with this new guy, my first different guy, the grass maybe feels a little greener. Maybe I needed that first guy to get where I got, but now, boy, I'm really enjoying things the way they are, where things are a little looser for me.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, I think there's some difference in interpretation in here. What do you think is the statement being made? I mean, I think you just laid out there in terms of liking this, sure. But what is the statement about Vrabel that all this is
well,
making?
I think it's just firming up what we knew, that Vrabel was a my way or the highway guy. And Landry liked that discipline. Landry found that discipline to be an effective way to turn into a good player. But now at this stage of his career where he's the old hat on the team, 2018 being the senior most guy on the team, that having a little less discipline and a little more freedom, and I'm not saying it's not a disciplined or disciplined team, or that Callahan is running a zoo or anything like that.
Kinder care.
It's just looser that he's finding enjoyment in that. And I think guys are happier to go to work right now. And I know there are contrarians out there saying, well, that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing now. You have to see how it translates. And certainly Brian Callahan has stressed this team. It's still been under the kind of stress it needs to be under to be ready. Now we have to see what happens. Callahan said the same thing that Vrabel said. You find out the true character of a team when things go badly. And we've yet to see how he deals with that.
Yeah, this whole conversation when they lose 40-17 will be interesting on Monday.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
where's the discipline?
Yeah, like, you know,
we need a hard ass in there.
Vrabel was a player's coach until he wasn't, when they started losing, right? Like, the conversation around Vrabel used to be, oh, well, he's a player. He knows what it's like in this league. He knows how to relate to us. And then it feels like all of a sudden, at least with the fan base, that has just gone out the window. Like, Vrabel didn't know what – they didn't correct any mistakes. He couldn't connect with the players. They all hated him, and now they're glad to see him gone and Callahan in.
A non-mistake-correcting ogre is what he was.
Yeah, exactly.
I had an interesting conversation with some of my guys last night.
All right, hold on. Hold that thought. See what I did?
Wow. Good job.
Hold that thought.
We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena Tuesday, September 17th. To caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Weezer at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Tuesday, September the 17th. Make sure you tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game this Saturday. For Vanderbilt football, Commodores taking on Alcorn State at home with pregame at 5 o'clock. Kickoff at 6:30. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Paul Kuharski with us.
We just learned that Joe doesn't check his emails, and he asked me if the media fantasy league was still in operation. I said, yeah, we drafted Sunday night. And he knew
who sent out an email about the draft?
ESPN.
Puffer?
Puffer has yielded, and he's out of the league, which is weak. You have Anthony Richardson as your quarterback. Congratulations on that. Tony Pollard, homer.
Dude, I quit.
Homer.
Way to go, Joe.
Who's the commissioner of the league now?
Sam.
Oh, Mr. Frickin' Survivor TV Superstar? He can't send out an email that people can read?
It's secretarial work, and we gave the young dude secretarial work.
I mean, I never had any idea there was a draft. Anthony Richardson, out of the league.
Rashad White, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb.
Did you check your email?
Malik Nabers.
Yeah, but the thing is, maybe
T. Higgins, so, Bengals defense. Yeah, if you had X-ray Bengals vision, heavy.
You could have seen this email coming long ago.
Get in there and compete. Get in there and compete.
I mean, just so I can talk trash to you and Andrew, maybe I will.
Well, you're not going to be talking trash with this lineup. You're going to be trash.
Freaking auto draft. That's terrible. I'm really mad at Sam. I'm rooting against him on Survivor.
Go
now.
Look at your email.
When does that start? Has Survivor started yet?
Survivor starts in mid-September, I believe.
Okay. I couldn't believe Survivor's still
I don't know that
there.
You're not. It's surprising to me you haven't been invited to the debut party. There's a big party.
He told me there was going to be one, but yeah.
He told you there was going
to
be one.
No invite to the fantasy league, no invite to the party.
Yeah.
I think we know where you stand with Sam
really,
Phelan.
Really treating
is
you well.
Is it because I make fun of the fact that he's a Chicago White Sox fan? Could be.
Could be. Bucket on the text line says, Titans fan base changing emotions on a whim when it comes to Vrabel. Not this fan base. They never waffle, ever.
No.
With sarcasm.
So here's a question that I was discussing with my people last night. Is it better to be going from a hard-ass coach to a softer coach or from a softer coach to a hard-ass coach? Which transition goes better?
That's an interesting question.
I thought so too, and I didn't really have an answer.
So I can go.
So I bring it to you.
I mean, I think, you know, first of all, there's a lot of sometimes that perception is skewed and it's not that cut and dried. I think that's the case here. I can think of in college. I think in college, a lot of times you
always taking it to college.
Well, but you see the hard ass coach. I've seen that definitely work well, like coming into a place where it's like very, you know, it just a lot of things have eroded. I mean, I saw it with Saban. I mean, I think you've seen it at Saban with three programs where he came in and it got like, you know, and he made things immediately better. I don't know in the NFL though. And now I just feel like now. There's less hard ass coaches. Like I don't think, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, what's trending now?
I mean, though,
what does Tua think?
Yeah, well, that's a he would tell you. He would certainly tell you
his hard ass coach wasn't good. That's the thing,
right?
Like, if his hard ass coach had some success, then it'd be a more viable comparison. But certainly, there it's worked in the favor of a more lighthearted coach.
Well, is he a good coach? Well, that's, you know, is he good at what does he have to be good at? What's the most important thing he has to be good at? To me, it's the offensive design and the play calling and the quarterback development.
Right. Well, and the players nowadays, I think that what they would tell you is that it would be easier to go from the hard coach to a guy that's a little bit more open, the player's coach, quick, so to speak. Now, having said that, as we know, like in this conversation, let's say Brian Callahan doesn't work out. It doesn't go well. And they go hire somebody, not this person specifically, but like in the mold of Belichick. The first thing guys are going to be talking about when he gets here is, man, that guy's got an attention to detail, and he holds us accountable, all those things. I mean, the conversation just flips. So
it's cyclical.
It is.
But let's be clear. None of us are saying that Callahan isn't those things. It's just it's really more about personality.
Right.
And by the way, Vrabel, in conversations and stuff, was he a hard ass in certain departments? Absolutely. But too often he's cast as some kind of ogre because of his media persona. But if you get in a one-on-one conversation with Vrabel in the right circumstances, sure, he chewed guys out when they screwed up and stuff. But his relationships with players, certainly his guys, delightful.
Yeah, like Andrew said, how was Vrabel a hard ass? There's no accountability for his crappy coaches. Players had nonstop maintenance days off, and I genuinely feel like he's a fake hard ass. He seemed to be harder on the media than his players.
Ackerman!
Well, yeah.
You could get in Vrabel's doghouse pretty easily, and Vrabel's doghouse was a terrible place to be.
Yeah,
I mean, he could. In general, I know there was all the stuff about the whatever the GM saying he's so big, but like, in general, he's an intimidating, kind of an a-holy guy, right?
I forgot about the general manager.
Yeah, he's got that.
That guy's huge.
And I'm saying delightful conversationalist and all of that. I mean, in my back and forth with him, non-public, we crushed each other. In a way that Northeastern guys crush each other. You know, so that's not for everybody, too, you know. By the way, Joe Rex wrote, an 8-point favorite over Sam Phelan in week 1. I don't know if that changes things.
You've been doing one-arm push-ups?
You and Sam.
Wow. But I don't even know if I have a password to like set my lineup, but cool.
of course you do.
Don't change it. You're an 8-point favorite.
Does your computer not save passwords? How primitive are you?
So this is really annoying.
That face is getting red
again.
He was very quiet during the draft. He was.
I don't want
very quiet.
A lot of trash talk going on.
Yeah, why did like no one, not one of you were like, hey, why aren't you drafting? No one thought to.
I paid attention to my draft too. I'm worried about one guy.
That's right.
Me with my. I teleported to Paris. I kicked back on my balcony looking at the Eiffel Tower, and I drafted away.
My team
is a beast.
Just an absolute stud lineup. For Kuharski. On the offensive line front, do you feel comfortable enough about where they are on the offensive line with the starting five heading into week 1?
I do.
Or is that a big concern?
I mean, I think the right side is a concern, but I think this idea that you're going to have a star player at every position, which you're going to hear about at 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon on repeat, is, you know, fantasy land. It happens very rarely. This team ran for 2,000 yards, had a back run for 2,000 yards with a second and third string left tackle playing a substantial piece of the season. So you do not have to have all pros at every position on the line. And I would argue that Nicholas Petitfrere has every chance to be better than Ty Sambrello and Dennis Kelly were. In that season when they replaced Lawan, and they're better coached for certain. So I'm giving the guy every chance. He's going to get help. Latham shouldn't need help on a frequent basis. The ball's going to come out faster. The run game is going to be an extension of the short pass game is going to be an extension of the run game in a way that we haven't seen, that it wasn't with Derrick Henry, who is a very traditional old school back. This is a much more modern run game that's going to have a big bearing on those things. I feel pretty good about the offensive line, particularly in comparison to the last 2 years.
I mean, Montez Sweat will definitely – he will pants Latham a couple times Sunday. I'll predict that right now.
He'll be predominantly, according to Herndon, expects him to be on Petitfrere's
side. The other side?
Most often.
They moved him more. He used to only rush from the other side, right, from against the left tackle. They've moved him around.
He's a problem. Virtually every team's going to have a problem guy,
yep,
and they're going to have to figure out – How to handle him. So you're going to screen him sometimes when he's being effective, and they were very good with screens. That's a part of their game I'm really excited about. So
we saw a little bit. I saw some screen game in New Orleans. We did.
And, I think they will have a smarter approach where the previous 2 years, sometimes they were just like, hey, we're going to have to endure it.
We forgot to mention that Vrabel's also dumb. I mean, on top of being, we can't forget that part.
I'll be sure to get him that clip. Nick,
clip
that up for me.
And then he can ask you more questions than what you're doing with your hands.
He knows I'm being sarcastic.
What are you doing with your hands?
You want me to ask a question with my hands down?
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
See, that was an underrated response to me. You want me to put my hands down to ask it? Then no one ever gives me credit for that.
I thought you handled it reasonably well.
Middles, Vrabes. Coming your way.
You know which one we've been revisiting a lot lately is when Zach Cunningham signed and Glennon dared to continue on the
thing. Do we have that?
And I said, as he stormed off, I said, that's a normal human reaction.
That was fantastic.
That was good.
I hate to give you credit, but I love that.
It all starts with Glennon in the press conferences.
That's what we've learned.
He is. He's the lightning rod, isn't he?
615-737-1025. Got to.
He's on the practice squad.
He's got to. One more segment with PK coming up next. We will also award our winner for the $50 A Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card coming up next as well.
That goat guy's looking good.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us for one more segment, breaking down the Titans and the Bears.
Congratulations to Trey.
No, I got a winner.
Trey?
No.
Winner?
No. Kevin from Union City, and I want you to answer this right now. What's Paul's favorite and least favorite things about the South?
Favorite and least favorite things about the South? Whew. I love it here.
It's the best question.
I love it here. I love my kids' friends are a remarkable bunch of young men, and their families are outstanding people. And I'm thrilled every time he's got the guys over. It's absolutely terrific.
I don't know that that's a thing about the South.
That's not a thing about the South?
I mean, you know, like, sure,
the top of my head. Atmosphere around here.
At the top of my head.
Okay.
Right. Least favorite is still the pace. I mean, I needed to slow down some, and I have slowed down some, but people's willingness to just mosey is ridiculous. Left lane drivers going 45 on their phone who just are not conscious that they should not be anywhere near the left lane. They should be all the way over on the other side of the highway. Their willingness to have a – I mean, look, if you want to have a conversation with the checkout person, that's fine. But don't do it when there's six people behind you who want to check out and get home. And the inability to make a competent bagel here is just ridiculous. H&H downtown now is fantastic.
Oh, keep going.
They've proved
it. Don't let us stop you. This is a long list.
Yeah, don't let us stop you.
So Kevin from Union City,
pick up the pace.
Kevin from
Seriously,
Union City
how slow
has won
can you be?
A Moments Peace Alana Day Spot.
Hi there,
$50
Martha,
gift card.
How are you
job,
doing
Kevin.
Today? I'm
right.
doing
Someone
great.
Said John Rich.
I have to John Rich. Oh, John I have Rich. To show you guys this before we continue. Again, we shout out DJ Burnside a lot. He has the number one pick in our fantasy football draft tonight. This is potentially his greatest work ever.
That's a bold statement.
A nice picture of a conversation we had earlier in the show of our dear friend Paul Kuharski in the ring with FDR. Has been photoshopped together. It's been put together. Wow. Kuharski fighting.
And look how
FDR.
Fit I am. I mean, those legs are accurate, but the upper body is not.
I have just quote tweeted it at R. Stanley NHL.
I mean, I think we need to offer context that I was asked. And who else should I have answered?
In the octagon?
Calvin Coolidge?
William Taft?
I was thinking, like, what are the smaller presidents would have been the answer, right?
Truman
but
strikes
you went
me
after the guy with polio.
You went right. Yeah, the guy with polio. What's that?
I wanted to immediately comes to mind who's the weakest, and he was in a weakened state.
I mean, you don't want to get in there and scrap with George Washington.
Andrew Garfield was quite weak.
You get in there and scrap with Washington. It's going to be a problem.
Right, yeah. Honest Abe, man, had a lot of reach.
No, I'm not
a lot of
fighting
reach
Honest
ring.
Abe. Yeah. You don't want to fight a hero. FDR's a hero, too, so that that doesn't hold up. You don't want to fight a healthy hero.
with good reach.
DJ Burnside, thank
that
you.
That guy should – who asked that question? He could have won easily, but he wins everything. He's –
Trey from Antioch boycotting this victory.
That's fine. Casey and Gallatin's been asked all these questions about how Springsteen is trash, and I just didn't even bring him to the air. I actually defended Springsteen for you.
We
so.
Should. Wow. You saw a great show at Wrigley.
Yeah.
I'm going to see a great show at Wrigley as the Yankees boot the ball around the field, which is what they do now. Refuse to bench guys who are done.
All right, so who you got in the game coming up on Sunday? The Titans take them down?
You're afraid to make a prediction?
Yeah, I don't make picks because you walk in a locker room and guys say, you picked it when they win. And you picked us to lose. And then the whole thing is about your stupid pick, which you have no idea what they're going to win or lose or whatever.
So I think what? I be accountable. Make a freaking prediction.
I want to be accountable for good reporting.
For being afraid of making a pick.
Yeah, I'm afraid to make picks. I don't care for it. I'm my own boss. And therefore, I make my own rules.
Okay.
I think it'll be competitive. I expect the Titans to play well and be right there. I think the Bears are, in fact, going to be a legitimate team this year.
Will they be that in week one? That's the question.
Depends on what Denard's defense does.
Okay, you don't have to pick a score. Who's going to win the game, PK? I mean, this is ridiculous. You can't answer a simple question about a football game?
No. I'm not telling you who's going to win a game.
That this is
hey, you heard it here first.
This is absurd.
I don't pick games. I don't. I'm surprised.
Well, you're not making you Jimmy the Greek here. Just who's going to win the game?
I don't know.
my God.
Titans are winning. You heard it here first. Titans are winning the game.
Did I hear it here
first? You think so?
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here right now.
My x-ray vision tells me that the Titans are going to win this game.
Here's my big prediction. The Saints are going to be terrible this year. They're going to pick in the top five.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks. Give the people what they want.
Get on your app.
I really wanted to get your Saints take right now.
Get on your app, bet the under on whatever their win total is, and you'll collect money on that. That's the way to win money, on things people are certain about, not on things they have no feeling on.
Do you have, do you at least have, like, Herndon make a game pick or something? It's just a fun part of sports. It's a fun part of sports is predicting.
He's not going to make a pick. It's all good.
I'm not going to make a pick.
He's not going to do it.
I don't do it.
Now Rex Road's trying to peer pressure you into making a pick.
Rex Road, who's not going to be in the locker room, is fine. Man. What's your pick?
Are we doing my pick now? I mean, we have tomorrow.
I will make his pick during my segment. He's got to save it for some
to
special
to fill
segment.
The void of you talking about what the Saints are going to do this year.
Well, look, I'm never going to pick the Bears to do anything. So we
I think the Bears are going to win. I think the Bears are going to win, but I actually think it'll be a pretty good football game.
Rex Road hates Titans. Yeah. See, this is the other thing I hate about picks. Like when somebody goes, you know, they're going to lose, but it's going to be close. Yeah. So I'm softening my pick that they're going to lose.
Hey,
so you can only pick blowouts. I'm Bears, by 40!
Are they going to win or are they going to lose is what people want to know. But then you soften it. I think they're going to lose, but only by 1 point.
Hey, with Arden Keys out there on Sunday, are you going to admit that you had factually inaccurate reporting?
Now you put that in people. That's very stilly-ass radio.
I picked PK's fake news.
Arden Keys lined up right there. Kuharsky has no idea what he's talking about.
Kuharsk.
You need to correct that right now because people are going to think you're right. You're serious.
There's a revolutionary idea.
In order for his suspension to be overturned, it had to exist in the first place.
Look, I know most Titans players have probably loved Paul Kuharsk over the years, but I'm the first one to say, I got a problem with this dude.
I got a problem with that guy, and I ain't afraid to tell everybody who knows.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks and keep listening to these guys. They're really good.
Fantasy football draft coming up tonight. We'll keep you updated on that.
See ya.
Jason Big Joe up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.